Hi, I'm Perry, and this is Chemist Corner. Hello, and welcome to Chemist Corner, the program dedicated to helping you become a better creator of cosmetic products. I'm Perry Romanowski. For the first season of Chemist Corner, I've mostly focused on interviewing other cosmetic chemists. This was done to give you a sense of the type of jobs and people that you find in the cosmetic industry. And I'll continue to do interviews on occasion, but I got this idea for a project which I wanted to try out. This will be season 2 of Chemist Corner, and I'm going to call it 30 Days to Become a Better Cosmetic Chemist. Now, the way it works is that each day I'll pick a topic related to cosmetic formulating and do two things. First, I'll do a little teaching around that topic. The topic will be related to one of 6 subject areas, including the cosmetic industry, raw materials, formulation, cosmetic science, product testing, and your cosmetic science career. Then at the end, I'll provide you with a challenge. This challenge will help reinforce the lesson and teach you more about whatever particular subject we are covering that day. Most of the challenges will be something you can do rather quickly, but you don't necessarily have to do it the same day. Now, while the podcast will be delivered as a new lesson each day, you can take more time to go through the lessons if you want. The lessons will be here for you when you're ready to do them. I just encourage you to really listen to and do each challenge. If you do, I guarantee you'll become a better formulator than you are right now. All right, let's get started with day 1 of the 30 days to become a better cosmetic chemist. Today we're going to focus on an introduction to the cosmetic industry. Now, most people who work in the cosmetic industry for large to medium-sized companies specialize in one type of cosmetic product. Usually they are limited to hair products or skin products, and rarely is there an overlap. Formulators at contract manufacturers or consultants have much more opportunity to work on the different types of cosmetic products and formulas, but even they are limited by the projects that come to them. If you want to be a complete cosmetic chemist and maximize your career flexibility, you should learn about the products in all cosmetic categories and the basics of how to create those formulas. Since you can't learn how to formulate all types of cosmetics without knowing what they are, it makes sense for us to start this first lesson exploring the main cosmetic categories and the products within each. So let's begin with cosmetic product categories. Before I interviewed for a job at a company that specialized in making shampoo, I didn't even think about the cosmetic industry or the fact that they would hire chemists. I got a degree in chemistry, but I didn't know what I was going to do. And when I learned that shampoos were part of the cosmetic industry, I was confused. I thought cosmetics were things like lipstick, nail polish, and eyeshadow, and the things that, you know, that I didn't really use, you know? I didn't know that nearly all personal care products are considered cosmetics. But it turns out that they are. While there are thousands of personal care or cosmetic products on the market, they can all be sorted into 5 distinct categories. First, there are skincare products. These are products designed to improve the appearance and the feel of skin. The skincare market makes up about 30% of all cosmetics sold, which is the largest share of any category. Skincare products can be classified further by how they work and what they do. So there are products that are left behind on the skin, and these include moisturizing products designed to improve the look and feel of the skin. There are also anti-aging products that promise to get rid of the signs of aging, for example, wrinkles or age spots or dry skin. There are sunless tanners, which change the color of skin, and there are over-the-counter drug products that protect from the sun, treat skin medical conditions, treat acne, and actually reduce wrinkles. The other types of skin products are those designed to remove things from the skin. This includes cleansers like body washes, hand soap, facial toners, and bubble baths. It also includes scrubs, masks, exfoliation products. You could also add shaving creams and depilatories to this group since they are designed to remove hair from the skin. Now, it is interesting to note, in the US anyway, that soap is not actually considered a cosmetic, even though it falls in line with the definition of cosmetics as described in the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act that provides the regulatory framework for cosmetics. Turns out back in the 1930s, when this act was being implemented, the soap makers of the time were able to exempt themselves from regulation, so soap is not a cosmetic. Of course, the definition of what counts as a soap is very narrow, and if you make any cosmetic claims about your soap, it then becomes a cosmetic and is regulated by the cosmetic rules. The next category of cosmetic products is hair care. Products for the hair are the second most popular type of cosmetic, making approximately 25% of worldwide sales. Like the skin category, hair products can be further grouped by how they work and what they do. The most frequently purchased hair products are those designed to remove things from the hair. These are liquid shampoos, which clean the hair, but there are also powdered and aerosol shampoos. They remove dirt and oil and other things from the hair. There are specialty shampoos, which qualify as over-the-counter drugs and include anti-dandruff shampoos, anti-lice shampoos, and even hair restoration products. Hair conditioners are another type of product designed to be rinsed off, but they also leave material behind to improve the look and feel of hair. There are standard everyday rinse-off conditioners, but there are also intensive conditioners, protein packs, hot oil treatments, serums, and a wide variety of other specialty products that are supposed to improve the hair look and feel. A third type of hair product are those meant to be left in the hair. These products can help change the feel of the hair, but primarily meant to help with the appearance and the control of hair. The largest segment of these products are styling products, including hairsprays, mousses, styling gels, putties, pomades, and more. There are also leave-in conditioners, which would fall into this subcategory. Of all the hair care product types, styling products are most diverse, taking on a vast array of formulation types. Now, a final hair product category is reactive hair products. These are formulas that chemically change the structure of hair, thereby changing the way it looks. For straightening hair, there are relaxer products. For making the hair curly, there are perms. And for changing the color of hair, well, there are permanent, semi-permanent, and other hair colors. Now, speaking of colors, that brings us to our next cosmetic category, color cosmetics. For most people, these are the types of products that they think of when they say the word cosmetic. Color cosmetics, or makeup, comprise about 20% of the worldwide cosmetic market. This group includes products that remain on the skin and change the color and appearance. It includes products for the face, like foundation, lipsticks, lip gloss, blush, eyeshadow, and eyeliner. And you could also include products for the nails, such as nail polish, gloss, and all the other products related to nail care. Color cosmetics are the most regulated of all cosmetics because governments around the world restrict the types of ingredients that can be used for colorants. It turns out that some of the coloring ingredients that were used prior to the creation of the modern cosmetic industry regulations were quite poisonous. Our next major category of cosmetics is fragrances. Fragrances and perfumes have been part of the cosmetic industry since before the 1600s. These types of products are meant to be put on to change natural body odor. They make up about 10% of the cosmetic market. The category includes perfumes, colognes, body splashes, and it also includes body sprays, which are aerosol versions of colognes. And then there are general personal care products. This last category of cosmetic makes up about 15% of the sales in the market, depending on what products you include, of course. These include oral care products like toothpaste, mouthwash, and whitening products. It also includes deodorants and antiperspirants, although I suppose you could make the case that these could be classified as either skincare products or fragrance. But for our purposes, let's just consider them a separate group. So there you have it in the five main categories of cosmetic product. They include skincare, hair care, makeup, fragrance, and personal care products. One thing I should mention, though, is that throughout this show, I've mentioned over-the-counter drugs. This is a special category of cosmetic-like products that is more tightly regulated, at least in the U.S. You see, cosmetics are not allowed to treat a disease or otherwise interact with the skin metabolism. According to the law, they are only allowed to temporarily change the appearance of the skin and hair. So any product that actually treats a disease is actually a drug. In the U.S., the FDA has created a list of such products, and each of these has a monograph which dictates the active ingredients, the levels, and the claims that you can make about those types of products. These products are not technically cosmetics, although they seem like they are. This includes things like sunscreens, anti-dandruff products, anti-acne products, antiperspirants, and anything else that might be considered treating a disease. Today's challenge. If you want to become a more well-rounded cosmetic chemist, you need to learn the technology behind all these types of cosmetics, not just the ones that you work on every day. Now, don't allow yourself to get pigeonholed into one type of product category without learning about all the other types of categories. It's okay to specialize in one area, and most companies you work for will require that. But don't limit your knowledge to a single specialty. Having a broad knowledge about all the cosmetic product types and categories will improve your career options. It's going to improve your formulating skills, and it's going to make you more innovative. So to that end, I've come up with today's challenge. For today's homework, I want you to pick one of the five product categories I talked about today and review as many types of products in that category as you can. Make a list of at least 10 different types of products that you can find. If you're reviewing hair products, see if you can find 10 different types of shampoos. When I say different, I mean in how they are named. For example, there could be baby shampoos, dry shampoos, moisturizing shampoos, volumizing ones, etc. Just find 10 different types of whatever product you want to explore. And for each one, write down the main claim they make and the first four or five ingredients. See if you can figure out what the main consumer problem they are trying to solve. If you have samples of these products, write down what the products look like. Are they clear or opaque? What do they smell like? Finally, green, fruity, floral. Now, doing this exercise will give you a much better sense of the types of products available to consumers in that category. Just doing this exercise will literally make you more knowledgeable than almost all other cosmetic chemists in that category. It also may give you an idea of whether there is some way in which that your products could be improved. I would encourage you to look outside your own area of expertise, if you have one, and focus on some category that you don't know as well. Also, you can do this exercise right from your computer. Go to a website like drugstore.com or Ulta.com. To make this more helpful, I've put together a spreadsheet that you can use to create your list. You can get it right through the show notes for this podcast. Well, that's today's program. Thank you so much for listening. In tomorrow's program, I'm going to talk to you about cosmetic raw materials, and specifically raw materials that actually make cosmetics work. If you have found this series helpful, please go to the comments section and leave a comment. Also, be sure to share it with your friends and colleagues or anyone else who might benefit. Now, don't forget to subscribe to us in iTunes or any other podcast playing service that you use. Also, be sure to give us a review on iTunes. This will help others find the show. If you found these podcasts helpful, please share it with anyone else you know who might be interested. You can also follow us on Twitter at Chemist Corner and like us on Facebook. Additionally, we have a cosmetic science forum that I encourage everyone to sign up to and participate in discussions about cosmetic formulating and this show. You can get lots of your questions answered right there for free. Thanks again for listening. I'm Perry Romanowski. Now, go make a difference.